G'day and welcome to the November edition of the St Kilda Talks podcast, being recorded at the ESPY in their tiny but glorious retro podcast studio. I am Greg Day, producer of This Week in St Kilda, a weekly list of arts, music and community events in St Kilda. Today we'll be talking to Melinda Martin from Linden New Arts about the upcoming postcard show. We'll chat to Adrian Spur about Veg Out and their big sculpture exhibition and competition. We'll discuss how you can get involved. You'll also meet Claire Birtles, one of the many performers coming up at Theatre Works in the play She is Vigilante. And lastly, we'll meet Janine Willis, who has put together a pop-up museum here at the ESPY about the legendary philanthropist and ESPY resident Alfred Felton. So this month my co-host is Michelle Nicol, a woman in the know. So tell me, Michelle, what do you know?
Last week I went to the locals launch of a brand new venue in St Kilda called Bunny. It's at the site of the old Rabata on Fitzroy Street, where they welcomed locals and wined and dined us, or fed and watered us for the evening. They also had a drag show that was on that night, which was great fun. And Bunny has a really great backstory. The backstory for Bunny is that the site of the bar is the site of a location for a secret women's spy organisation.
So do you know the name of this spy organisation?
I can't recall the name of it. It went by the code name of Bunny.
And you also went to the launch of the Roadrunner book?
I did.
The Big Beat.
So this is really interesting. Back in the late 70s, early 80s, there was a rock magazine called Roadrunner, which was originally published out of Adelaide and then became national. And Roadrunner very famously featured a lot of acts and artists that the bigger magazines such as Duke and Ram didn't cover. And they covered many artists from Melbourne, including St Kilda's very own The Birthday Party and a number of other bands that were active at the time. So at the launch of the book, which is a beautiful production, it's a 500-odd page book.
A $95 tome.
It's $95, so it's a special treat for many people, but a beautiful, beautiful...
Is that a hint on your Christmas list?
Well, it might be a hint on my Christmas list. The thing I love about it is that it's got this fantastic index at the back of it. So whilst it is also a reproduction of every issue of Roadrunner magazine, there's nothing you can't find. So the index is indexed by artist, by month, by year, by time, by type of music. And the other thing that I love about it is that you can see old ads from the time as well. So I have been taking a little stroll back in history, Greg.
So I'll tell you some things that I've been doing. I went to the Sacred Heart Mission concert.
How was that? It looked amazing.
Well, it was fun as always because it's very diverse. But I was thinking, what was the highlight for me? And I'm putting down the highlight as Joe Camilleri doing his best Van the Man impersonation.
Oh, really?
He wasn't really impersonating, but he was singing in that style, that kind of Mink DeVille meets Van Morrison style, and he can still do it.
Oh, he's got glorious pipes, really, Joe.
Crowd were very happy. Some good comedy as well.
Oh, really? Who was on? Can you remember?
Oh, yes. There's an Indigenous performer who performed Very Blue, and and Carl Barron, who did his quirky kind of
trademark stuff.
Family,
he's great.
Family humour.
He's great, Carl.
Yeah, it was good.
Always enjoy seeing Carl. I always think it's going to be a little bit daggy, and then I just get so many laughs out of Carl. He's great.
So, what else? What are you looking forward to in the next month?
Well, it's also Oz Music Month. Well, Australian Music Month is always really great fun, Greg, because it's when we celebrate the incredible richness of Australian music here in our community.
I hate to prompt you.
No,
but
do prompt
me. One of the
me.
Things that the ESPY and On Music Month is doing is they're donating $1 from all door sales of all gigs in November to
a support act. Yeah. Hey, Greg, there is something I really want to see, And it's not in November, it's in December. But because tickets are selling so fast, I want to talk about it in November. It's Ron Espino and the Superstitions at MIMO Music Hall on the 6th of December. It is Ron's first show since January 2019, where he was diagnosed with a very serious illness. And it was thought that he may not be able to sing again. So that he is going to be doing this gig is extraordinary. If you want to hear a sample of Ron's voice, head over to his website, and perhaps Greg may play something of Ron's.
Well, if you want to suggest a track like you did last time.
I would probably give Everybody Moves a go. I think that's probably one of his greatest songs.
Oh, he's a powerhouse.
A powerhouse, and an extraordinary performer to see live, because the man can move.
Now I'd like to welcome Melinda Martin from Linda New Arts to the show. Hello. How are you?
I'm very well. Thanks for having me, Greg.
Yeah, well, we like to start off by asking people what arts and community things they've seen in St Kilda in the last month or so.
So in the last month or so, I have been watching Veg Out and the sculpture work Suddenly Emerge. I've been watching that mostly through Instagram, so being like keeping a curious eye on that. And I've also had a little special kind of sneak preview with the Felton Museum that here the Esplanade are presenting in the next little while to celebrate the anniversary.
Well, that's good, because we're featuring both those things on this month's podcast. So you're a woman with her finger on the pulse.
Occasionally, Greg, occasionally.
So you've just been unpacking all the entries to the postcard show?
We are, yes. We're in the midst of the adventure of not quite finished receiving all the entries, but we're nearly there, which is exciting. So we start to unpack, and then we start to plan how the show will be hung in our gallery space. And we're kind of, you know, it's always a kind of discovery each time we kind of, you know, receive over 1,000 works.
Over 1,000? And how many will you hang?
We will hopefully hang everything.
Oh, it's fantastic.
The only time we ever say, look, we can't hang that, if it would be seen to be something that was sort of outside family-friendly ideas, but also if it was racist or sexist or any of those kind of,
yeah,
you know.
So you've got standards.
Yeah. Well, we have to maintain those. That's important. But mostly we hang everything, which is one of the sheer delights of the show, is actually artists coming in to see their work hung on the walls for the first time. That's a really exciting part of the experience.
Yes, and I know a few people that the excitement has been building as they've been motivated by the deadline.
There's nothing like a good deadline to get people motivated. We always, you know, we're pretty open about the deadline has to be this date. And often people say to us, but why? You don't hang it until then. It's like, well, actually, there's a whole heap of logistics in between that we have to manage.
And when does it open?
So it opens to the public on the 23rd of November. So we open at 4 o'clock that day, and the prizes are announced from 6:30.
Well, that's exciting.
It is prizes. Exciting. It is exciting.
And then it runs through till February.
Yeah, it runs through to about the 9th of February in 2020, which is really, it's a nice long summer run of show, which is really exciting.
And Linden is open every day except
Monday. So we're open from Tuesday to Sunday from 11 till 4.
And it's free entry.
Yes, it's that very affordable price point.
And another thing too is that all the works are for sale too, is that true?
They are all for sale, which is one of those great things because people can, you know, discover a little mini masterpiece and take it home with them. One of the things we always delight in our team is that we often feel like we become relationship counsellors when we discover, you know, couples or family members going, this is the one I think we should get, and then someone else going, what are you seeing in that? Are you crazy? So we often feel that we have to walk a sort of a fine line in helping people negotiate their purchases.
And who sets the prices?
The artists.
Well, they're bold, aren't they?
They are. And, you know, sometimes there'll be works from sort of $50 up to probably, I think, you know, last year when I'm thinking about it, was maybe the most expensive was $3,000 or $5,000. And that depends on the experience of the artist. Sometimes we have very experienced, established artists who come back and enter the show because they, you know, have a real fondness for it. Often that's where their career started. And other times, you know, but most of the works, I would say, were sort of be about 200, 300 mark, so quite affordable.
And what percentage of people do you think would be first time to have something exhibited?
We have a pretty loyal following of artists, but we always try and attract new. So we probably have maybe 60% of artists have entered before, and then 40% would be new people.
Well, that's fantastic. So there's always something new to see.
Indeed.
And mini masterpieces for sale.
To discover and take home, hopefully.
That's great, Melinda. So thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much for having me.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, so welcome back, and we're now going to talk about the big sculpture exhibition at Veg Out, and we've got an extra guest. So we'll start by introducing everybody. Here we've got Adrian. Tell us what your role is there.
Well, I'm one of three curators there. I guess my particular role is as the resident sculptor at Veg Out.
And Mariella,
hi.
Tell us about you.
I'm a pretty much independent curator. I put on shows under my own steam and, putting on this one now.
It's on display all November at the Veg Out Gardens.
That's great.
In Shakespeare Grove.
Shakespeare Grove and Chaucer Street.
You know, what are sculptures doing in a garden?
Well, we've got a fabulous garden environment. And we thought, well, Mariella suggested to me, why don't we put on a sculpture show? We've got great security. And remember, these are very pricey sculptures. They're not small at all. We moved one in today. There's a 1 ton of Chinese onyx carved from. And within the environment of an enclosed, beautiful space, we thought it'd be lovely to make a sculptural exhibition where you can tour around the garden, see the garden at the same time as you see these beautiful artworks.
Give me an idea of the range that I might see.
Well, you'll see a first-year student from RMIT, Rintaro Medea, and you'll also see the likes of Clive Murray White, who... he's got a piece in the National Gallery, a marble piece. He's also got a marble piece in our show. So there's a wide range.
Yeah, I guess what we really wanted, Greg, was to present a broad array of sculptures and sculptural media that will be of interest to everybody in St Kilda, because we want everybody in St Kilda to come and see these.
So, of course, there's a People's Prize.
There is, and we're really encouraging everybody who comes there to vote, and that People's Prize is quite considerable. It's $1,000, and it really will help us judge what people's tastes are, I guess.
I think it's a great idea. Just looking at the exhibition catalogue, I guess, is what I'm looking at. Is that right?
Catalogue, yeah.
It is your catalogue. There are so many remarkable pieces in here, and Mariella, you were saying what different materials there are. I'm trying to imagine 19 sculptures in Veg Out, beautifully curated and put together in there, and getting my way through Veg Out with all the plantings that are in there. It's an extraordinary project.
It is, and if anything, they make the gardens look bigger and even better than what they actually look like and without the sculptures in there. So everything
that's amazing.
Yeah, and everything that's been placed, we've had comments about people just say, oh, they look like they've been here forever. They just really, really fit in. We've really thought about where they're going, and there's a flow through. There's a pathway to follow through, and there's a flow in the show. So it
just sounds like such a great treat.
Yeah.
And I love the idea of having big sculpture in St Kilda rather than sculptures on the sand, down at wherever it is, yeah. Another place.
Well, we've been one of our catch lines for our Instagram, Big Sculpture at Veg Out, is bringing big sculpture to the heart of St Kilda. And Veg Out is right at the heart of St Kilda, right in between, next to Luna Park, just behind Ackland Street, next to the Peanut Farm, just back from the foreshore. Couldn't get more central.
And
how amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just congratulations on such a genius idea.
Thanks,
and Michelle. A stellar achievement in getting them all in there.
Yeah.
No, that's extraordinary. I cannot wait to get in there.
Thanks, Michelle.
And the people's voting has to be done before the 24th.
Correct.
Correct, yeah.
Yes, because that's the big open day.
That's right.
So on the big open day, what else happens?
Well, apart from the big open day, it's open every weekend and there are festivities that plan for every weekend. But on the open day, which Veg Out hosts every year, this year it's the big sculpture open day. We regularly get 600 people to that on a regular basis every
year. That's crazy.
This year we're expecting well over that. Mm. And there'll be prizes, music, picnics on the grass.
Bar open.
Food. Coming, have tour. Meet
Stop
the
it.
Artists.
Can I move in?
Yes, come along.
Come along and see. We'd be expecting you there.
That's good. Okay. Well, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Greg.
Thank you.
Thanks, Michelle.
Greg, thanks, Michelle.
So our next guest is Claire Birtles, who's a performer in She Is Vigilante, coming up at Theatre Works. G'day, Claire, how are you?
Hi, Greg. Thanks for having me on.
Michelle and I were just talking about Theatre Works, and we were talking about how good Unhoused was and how we liked that Real Stories.
Mm.
But that's the point of this show too, isn't it?
Yeah, look, it's been a real community operation. And really driven by two fabulous women, Christilla Pierce and Bridget Belodes. So we've really looked at the complexity of women's issues, tried to bring that together with, you know, all women writers and all women performers. And it's really been a liberating experience. There's, you know, a real range of women in the show. I think we've got 21 to 73-year-olds. So, and we've all got a really rich background as women.
And they were sourced by a call-out as well?
They've been fabulous. They've got a lot of integrity, these two young theatre makers and directors, Christilla and Bridget. They put out a call-out in February for women writers. And they had an anonymous, consensus on who they chose, so they didn't actually know who the writers were, which I think has got a lot of integrity because I think arts can be quite exclusive sometimes. There can be sort of people that get more opportunities than others, and this has been a fabulous opportunity for five really diverse women to showcase their writing.
Well, it's interesting. It's billed as a collection of short plays about women who stand up, rebel and kick ass.
Yeah, I'm loving that, Greg. And, you know, we sort of, us women, we can't hear that enough. And really, I suppose what's been unique about this process, I've been doing theatre since I was 19, and that's a good 20 years. I won't tell you, you know, my age exactly, but these women have really created a safe, nurturing space for writers and performers, and not just nurturing but really interesting. So they're really committed to hearing the real stories we have.
And in the role you play,
yeah,
which are you, a stand-up, a rebel or a ass kicker?
You know, I'm the complexity. My plays are based on Eurydice Dixon and what happened not so long ago in Parkville in Melbourne. So I'm doing quite a powerful monologue, amongst other things, really calling men to action. Just, we don't want to alienate men, but we really saying we're doing a lot and now we really need the support.
And who wrote that monologue?
Ivana Prejas and Christella Pierce. So, again, it was a fabulous collaboration. Ivana's a young writer, just graduated VCA, I believe, and Christella's, breastfeeding in rehearsal and in her 30s, two children. So it was a really great collaboration of both their experiences of this incident of feminism and of women. And we're really kind of trying to encompass the whole the complexity that surrounds these issues, that they're not...
And how many works are in the set?
There are five. So four short plays and then I suppose you'd call them advertisements, and that's by another writer, and they're really fabulous. So they're interspersed throughout the performance.
Sounds amazing. Like, it's really, really interesting.
To be honest, it's really restored my faith in theatre. I really see, I've been working in theatre for a good while and I've really not been as inspired as I am at the moment by the approach these women come with, and just the interesting work that we're producing.
And it's new work too.
These women are really committed to access. They're really committed to getting diversity on the stage.
Fantastic.
Especially in St Kilda, where we have such vibrant, diverse community. it's like, hallelujah, we really, as a community.
And I love the call out that it's works by women, about women. It's fantastic.
Yeah. And people might think, oh, that's excluding men, but really theatre has been predominantly, male-driven. So to really finally have these exciting spaces where we, particularly as performers, all the performers have said how, much freedom there is and how much honesty there is, and, that can only be encouraged as a female performer, for sure.
Well, look, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Greg.
And good luck with the show too. I'm going to get a posse and come down.
Yeah, we'd love. It's going to be a great community event. It's going to be a real diverse audience, I think. We've got different backgrounds in the show, and that brings a new audience into fabulous St Kilda, which, only adds.
Only adds.
It does, doesn't it?
Cannot subtract, cannot detract.
I know.
Well, thanks, Claire. That's good.
Great. Thanks, Greg. Thanks for having me.
I'm happy with that.
Awesome.
I'd like to introduce Janine Willis, who's the Artistic Director of the Felton Museum, which is a pop-up here right in the ESPY. So welcome.
Thank you so much, folks.
And what's a museum doing in a pub?
Oh, what a great question. Well, I also happen to be the Artistic Director of the Arts Program here at the ESPY as well. So I love making art in non-traditional spaces so that you're not just talking to the converted. That's what a museum's doing in a pub.
Well, and we've got a special connection to Mr. Felton too. Yeah.
We do. We have a beautiful connection. So Alfred Felton lived the last, huge chunk of his life here, and in fact passed away in the building as well. So it's a fabulous story that is kind of little known.
And that's his ghost that haunts the ESPY?
Great question, Greg. Well, we do have a Ghost of Hotel Esplanade storytelling tour that we've been doing for quite some time now. And it's fascinating to think about the kinds of souls that have floated through this building, huh?
Yes,
if the walls could talk.
Oh, my goodness.
And yeah. Janine, what about
Alfred Felton. Is it, for those people who've never heard of him, because he was a very big deal in the day, and the SP has kind of revived this great story of him, but there's people who won't know yet. So what's the big deal about Alfred Felton?
Yeah, who cares about this man that lived in a hotel and all of that
lived
sort of
and died
stuff.
In a hotel? Yeah, yeah, great, who cares,
great,
right?
Exactly. Yeah, so I guess the thing that is, you know, that is so incredible about this man's legacy is that he made, you know, amassed a small fortune and gave all of that money away at his death, and half of that money went to charities supporting women and children, and half of that money went to the arts. And the sum of that money that went to the arts, to give you a sense in today's terms, has funded something like 3/4 of the works at the NGV. It's insane. So $3 billion of the $4 billion worth of works done at the NGV are funded by the Felton Bequest. So it's a pretty insane story. And it's also, you know, the beautiful thing of the story is that, you know, Felton, from everything we've read and discovered, was a very humble, modest man. So it's quite the, it was quite the surprise that this bequest came into the hands of both the charity supporting women and children and the NGV.
And when he lived here at the SB, was at classy accommodation or what was...
Great question. So, I mean, it was referred to as a boarding house, but it certainly was. I mean, a boarding house, when we think of boarding houses, we think of some sort of dingy little place, but it certainly wasn't that. St Kilda at the time was a really fabulous place to be. The CBD in Melbourne was a bit grungy and dirty, and people saw St Kilda as a really fantastic place to be by the seaside. And the building, you know, was really grand. His accommodation, I think, was a really, you know, in really nice rooms. He had two rooms here. But in saying that, for someone who'd amassed a fortune of that size, to just live in two rooms in a hotel is quite a fascinating thing. His contemporaries all had, you know, amazing mansions and all of that sort of stuff. So it's quite interesting.
He liked the pub.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it wasn't a pub. It was a it was a seaside boarding house, basically.
Well, I have friends who came here for their honeymoon.
Aww.
And it was all the way from Thornbury.
Oh, my
so
goodness.
It was that sort of venue.
It was. What a gorgeous story, Greg. That's fascinating. We have in our kind of, you know, uncoverings of stories of the SB in the reopening, we've discovered a few people who lived here and stayed here.
And so you've created a pop-up museum in one of the bars here?
Yeah. So for anyone who's been to the newly, you know, reimagined SP, the top floor of the hotel is dedicated to Alfred Felton. So it's a bar or three spaces with a bar that is called the Ghost of Alfred Felton. There is the library, the pharmacy and the gallery, which speaks to the things that, you know, are about his life. And the museum will take over that entire level. And then we'll have a series of, you know, other programmed add-on storytelling experiences and adventures that happen in all sorts of spaces throughout the hotel.
Yes, and that's the way it's ticketed too, isn't it? Explain the ticketing for us.
Yeah, so the ticketing, you can buy a ticket to the museum, so the pop-up museum upstairs, and when you do that, you can also get one storytelling experience included in your museum ticket. Or you can just buy a ticket to one of the add-on storytelling experiences, which, you know, there are 9 different things you can buy a ticket to. There's a number of storytelling experiences that we regularly run here that they're everything, as I said, from the ghosts of Hotel Esplanade, the Felton story itself, behind the scenes at the Hotel Esplanade, which is hosted and presented by Susie Q, who, you know, great local, amazing, you know, old rock and roller from St Kilda, has a great story to tell about the SB. Architecture, which is led by Techne, the people that were involved in the reimagining of this hotel, and they tell some tales about how to revive heritage buildings. We have a talk by Andrew Ranger and Elizabeth from Friends of St Kilda Cemetery. They are talking about, I guess, the, well, Elizabeth talks about the gravestones down at the fascinating St Kilda Cemetery, of which some are Felton and his colleagues and friends, and we explore Felton's life from that perspective. That's juxtaposed against Andrew talking about burial rituals and ceremonies and the whole online world of memorials these days, because, you know, Felton was a bold thinker, a progressive thinker. And if, you know, he had things like the first, one of the first phonographs, you know, gramophones in Melbourne. He had one of the first electric lights in his room. He was a progressive in that sense. And so we really want to, I guess, make sure that there is that message coming through in all the programming. Yes, it's a, yes, of course, it's a museum and it looks back at history, but it also looks at how this bold thinking impacted our world. So, yeah. So, and then, as I said earlier, I think when we were chatting beforehand, there is a
My eye was caught by Maud Davey appearing here.
Isn't she the best?
She's so great.
Such a wonderful human. So Maud, along with another spoken word artist called Turiro Mondavo. So they will be doing a fabulous reading of the two biographies written of Felton in the Gershwin Room. It will be a stunning experience.
Well, it's 10 days, starts on the 9th, ends on the 17th.
It does, so yeah.
Visit your website or my website for more information. Thanks, Janine. That's all good.
Wonderful.
So it's a wrap.
That's a wrap, baby.
Thank you so much.
Stay up to date with art, music and community. Visit g'daystkilda.com.au and subscribe to get a great list in your inbox every Sunday at 7 p.m.